Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Newport Presbyterian Church. And I would say if we have any visitors this morning, we have a book out in the narthex we would like for you to sign. But we don't. Or yeah, we do. We have family members here again. And a preacher that's been here before. And his wife. And we praise the Lord for that. And in this time we have together. And we welcome Mike. And his wife. I forgot your name already.
Mike Law.
No.
Charlotte.
Say hello to Charlotte and Mike, please. And Mike is going to bring the word to us in your bulletin, and it says here that he has been for more than 20 years pastoral ministry, and is presently serving as a chaplain for the St. Charles Ambulance District. And thank you for him and his ministry and to us today. Thank you. The other announcements, the Youngs are on vacation for 2 weeks, men's retreat, October 16th and 17th at property. That's located somewhere between, I'm sure we can find it on MapQuest. I haven't been there, but I hear it's a beautiful property. I'm not loud enough. She's telling me I'm not loud enough.
Lean in.
Okay. Anybody else got a comment on the commentary? Anyway, every Sunday, Sunday school at 9:30 to 10:15 p.m. Time of fellowship, snacks, and coffee later. September 6th, celebration of the Lord's Supper. That is today. Fellowship meal to follow the worship service. Please join us if you can. Men's prayer breakfast is September the 12th. That's next Saturday at 8 a.m. Cooking starts at around 7. Also on the 13th of September, the New Haven Church is leading the fellowship at the New Haven Care Center. So please take note of that. And Lady Fellowship on September the 16th, 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please be aware of that, you ladies. And Men's Retreat, the 16th and 17th. Are there any other announcements? Hearing none, let's proceed to the most important thing we'll do this week. Christ has come.
Christ has come.
Christ is crucified.
Christ is
risen from the dead.
Christ is risen from the dead.
Christ is coming again.
Christ is coming again.
Hallelujah. What a Savior.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue.
Ma'am, please. Please allow me.
Forgive me.
Now hear the call to worship from Hebrews 1:1-4. Long ago at many times and in many ways God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is a radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purifications for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited in more excellence than theirs. Please join us. Rise for the singing of the hymn.
Peace, come with you to heaven.
now join me in prayer. Our Father God, we praise your name for the Father that you are to us. Yours be the glory, and yours alone. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your glory alone, because of your perfection, your mercy, your truth. Those things abide. Those things give us encouragement. Those things guard us with the Spirit. In your Trinity, you glorify yourself. You don't need us to glorify you, because you are a glory to yourself. But you desire a relationship with us. Great are your scriptures. Great is the Spirit that girds and guides us in those things, that we might have peace. But it's all to your glory, and we praise your name. Please be seated.
We'll have now a time of corporate repentance and confession. First hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. Let's have now a time of reading together this corporate prayer of confession and repentance, and following that, let us have a silent prayer, just in our own hearts and our own minds, a silent confession and repentance. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift, but we often live as if our opinions are better than your ways. We have broken every one of your commandments in our hearts, in our thoughts, and in our actions. We have attempted to turn you into a God who tolerates sin, instead of acknowledging you as the God of holiness, who lovingly confronts sin in your word, who mercifully provides the atonement for sin through our great Savior, and who kindly provides the means of escaping the destructive power of sin through your Holy Spirit. Lord, here today we confess our sins to you again, and we repent of the ways that we have called evil good. Have mercy upon us, Lord, and help us to desire and receive the provision for sin and for life that you offer us in and through your Son, Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Now please pray with me as we silently confess and repent of our sin individually. Amen. Now please hear God's words of assurance of his pardon from Psalm 72, Romans 5. He delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and needy and saves the lives of the needy. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. At this time, let's have a time of congregational prayer. I'll lead us and ask that we join together vocally in praying through the Lord's Prayer at the end. And let us go together to the throne of God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us this day to rest and to worship, that we can come with our family, our church family, this body of believers, to confess our sins, to sing our praises, to hear from you, from your word, and to encourage each other to walk as becomes followers of Christ. We have come into your presence recognizing and confessing your holiness. You are high and lifted up, exalted above your creation, and also enthroned on the praises of your people. Furthermore, you are even present with us, the Holy Spirit dwelling in the hearts of all believers, and in the church we are being built up into a holy building together. You are an amazing God, the only living, the only true God. And we worship you for your holiness and for your goodness and your greatness, that you are completely perfect in all your ways. We are not perfect. We are incomplete. We are people who sin and fail and fall short. But you are right and righteous, good and holy and complete in all that you do. And you are wonderful. Pray that our hearts and minds will be focused on you and not distracted, but that we would have a focus on you together in our hearts and minds as we have this hour of worship. Also ask that you would continue to look on us and look after us throughout this week. As we're starting this week in a time of worship of you, I pray that that will continue throughout the week. Help our attitudes and our beliefs and our rememberings to be on you constantly. May we pray without ceasing through the week, recognizing our needs and being encouraged and helped by your Holy Spirit to come to you with those daily needs throughout this week. May we also remember our brothers and sisters throughout this week in prayer and in offering practical helps as you give us opportunity. Praying for the ministry of the word to be effective and ongoing throughout this week. And being built up, even as a church, in our various homes, our various neighborhoods, would you build us up as a church throughout this week, even in our own places. Father, we pray this week for our missionaries who we're especially focusing on for the week. Jackson Vander Ark, who's serving you on the college campus, serving you as a minister in Columbia, Missouri with RUF. We pray that through the churches in Columbia, through RUF, at Mizzou, and in other ways, as you are active in that area, that your name will be praised and hearts and minds will be opened and you'll build the faith of your people. I also pray for RUF interns and other workers, whether they be paid or unpaid RUF workers on various college campuses. We've got multiple that are involved with our church and that we have our hearts close to. And we thank you for RUF and how it is a means that you've used and are using to teach the Word of God, which is living and active and sharp. Teach that Word and cause that Word to go out. And we know from your Word that as you send your Word out, it will accomplish what you send it out to accomplish. We thank you for that. Cause your ministers to be faithful to you in all of that. We think on our needs. We recognize that you've given us all that we need for life and for godliness. You continue to sustain us moment by moment, giving us breath, giving us nourishment for our bones and our muscles, causing our hearts to beat. You've given us for all of our needs, and we pray that you will minister specifically to these matters that we've discussed this morning. We pray for you to bless and keep our pastor and his family. Ask you to be with those who are traveling. Grant them good alertness. May they be loving their neighbor as their self as they drive. And we also pray for to maintain good alertness on the road and for to enjoy that time of family gathering this week. We also pray for the neighbor of the, also our neighbor here, not so far away from where we are in Washington, who've had a 15-month-old child who's died. And we ask you to minister to the needs of our neighbor and their family. Bring comfort, bring peace, the knowledge of your goodness, again, your righteousness, that you do all things well. And may you comfort those who mourn and be especially with the brokenhearted. And bring a reassurance and a joy in time that all that you do is good. And ultimately, we can trust in you. I pray that you will build the trust of each one of us to trust in you more and more, even and especially in difficult times of struggle such as this, for this dear family, these neighbors. And we pray now that you will hear our prayer as we make it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's now greet one another in the name of the Lord. Now our worship continues as we proceed with worshiping God through the giving of tithes and offerings. This morning we are reminded to do so from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Please hear these words. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. For doxology today. 732 is the number in your hymnals. Sure, yeah, please stand.
It gives you more.
More air.
Should we go through?
Rich mentioned, we have Mike McLaughlin here with us today, a brother, a teaching elder from our presbytery. He's been here before. We've benefited from him before, and we look forward to benefiting from his ministry today. And he's benefited from Newport as well. So please, as you have opportunity, please welcome Mike. And Mike, please come now and minister God's word to us. Thank you.
All right. Well, it is great to be with you all again this morning. I can't remember when that was that we were here last. Maybe several, maybe even a year ago. I don't know. I don't know about you all, but I reached a certain age and I have no sense of time anymore. Could have been a month ago. It could have been 3 years ago. Hopefully that's not happening to you all like it's happening to me. It is great to be here, and it was great to be able to just let Daryl take some time off as well. And he is off on a long adventure out west, and happy for him to be able to do that. And he's even in our old neck of the woods. He's going to be in New Mexico for part of it. We used to live in New Mexico for 10 years and just loved it out there. I encouraged him to eat a lot of green chili, and he said his stomach cannot handle that. So here it is. You know what's become a big deal are gender reveals. And now, I'm a personal believer that gender reveals exist because we no longer find out what the baby is when the baby's born, right? Now we find out months in advance. We decided with our two children, with our first two children, that we would wait until the baby was born to find out if it was a boy or a girl. And it was super exciting. I said, who needs gender reveals? But it is a big thing, right? People put together balloons with colors in it or cakes, and you cut the cake and you do all these things to find out if it's a boy or if it's a girl. But, you know, what's it going to be? But what about that if we don't, if there's something even more important about that baby? Something of much greater importance about that baby that's coming, and we think to ourselves, oh, I wish there was a way to reveal blank about this baby. There's something about the future of that baby, something about that baby that's going to have meaning and significance. And today we're reading about a fulfillment of 2 Samuel chapter 7. And the people who are being told that that's what essentially is happening. This is a fulfillment, those words aren't used, of 2 Samuel 7, but that is what's being demonstrated. I'm not sure what smoke bomb you need for that, what color smoke bomb you need for a revelation of 2 Samuel 7, but what we're going to be doing today is essentially a Christmas message. Now you think, will it be 100 degrees today? Is today a good day for a Christmas message? And maybe that's exactly when we need a Christmas message. And sometimes when we're not just so much wrapped up in all of the usual stuff related to Christmas, some different time of the year where we can stop and we can think about the truth of the incarnation and God being with us. And so even though it's a very hot day, we're going to be looking and considering the birth of Christ this morning, the birth of the coming of the Messiah. So Let's read today in Luke chapter 1. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, and we'll be going through verse 45. Again, if you've been in church for more than a year, you have probably heard this passage at some point along the way, because you would have heard it during Christmas time, almost every Christmas time. And so, again, let's go ahead and read from Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I do come before you. We all come before you. We have heard your word. You have put it upon our hearts. And I pray, Father, that your Spirit would move powerfully in each and every one of us. Help us, Father, to be convicted by your word, but also to find great hope in it as well. We pray, Lord, for the one who is teaching. Lord, if there's anything that is not true, may it be forgotten, never to be thought of again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to tell you a quick story about a guy. His name was Charles McKinley. And this was quite a few years ago. Charles was living and working in New York, but he was originally from DeSoto, Texas. DeSoto, Texas is kind of near the Dallas area. And Charles was getting homesick. He missed his parents. He missed home. And he wanted to get there, but he couldn't afford the plane ticket to get back. Well, Charles was working as a shipping clerk. So he came up with what he thought was a brilliant plan. He would have a box. He would create a label for that box. He would have his employer pay for the shipping of that box. And he would get in that box. He must have had some sort of help to close up the box. And then that box was shipped off to DeSoto, Texas. That's not a brilliant plan. I'm just going to tell you, if you ever are tempted to do that, don't do it. So he shows up there at his parents' house, and the delivery guy brings the heavy package up to the door, and he chooses that moment to pop out of the box. He had a way of opening the box back up, and there he was, and he shook the hand of the scared delivery man. Can you imagine that poor guy? And then greeted his parents. But you know what that delivery guy did? He called the police. He called the police, and they in turn called the FBI, the U.S. attorney, postal inspectors, Federal Aviation Administration, the Transportation Security Administration, and maybe that was it. And, of course, poor Charles was charged with a federal misdemeanor of being a stowaway, and he was found guilty. I don't think it was that big of a deal. In the end, I still don't recommend it. But the point being, to this humorous story, I always enjoy that story, is that you never know who's going to show up at your door, do you? You just never know who one day could show up knocking on your door saying, I'm here, I'm greeting you, here we go. And just think about the visit that Mary received that day. When the angel of the Lord appears to her from out of nowhere, could you imagine her fear? I don't know about you, but I don't know that I would ever be fully ready for a visit from God or for one of his angels. I just don't know that I would ever be there. And if they did come, how would I react? How would I respond? I think of Moses when he was approached by God in the burning bush. And what did he do the whole time that he was talking to God? He was saying to him, surely somebody else. I am not a man worthy of this calling that you have given to me. I think I would think the exact same thing. Surely somebody else. There's bound to be somebody better than me for you to come and to visit and to call upon me to do a great and amazing things. And the answer to that, by the way, the truth of the matter of that is there is somebody greater and better than you somewhere that could do the job that you've been called to do. And yet God has called you to that job. For we have to remember something very, very important. And he says it in these very words, the angel does to Mary, that nothing is impossible with God. Is there somebody better? Yes. But God can use people like you and like me. If he could use people like Mary and Elizabeth, he could use somebody like you and me, for nothing is impossible with God. Let's look for a minute at just how Mary is brought into the story. If you're looking at verses 26 to 33, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth. So there he shows up and he visits Mary. What do we know about Mary? You got to remember this about Mary. She was incredibly young. Girls in that time period were married between the ages of 12 and 16. That's when they got married. My daughter just got engaged a few weeks ago. We're very excited about it, but she's 22. And I'm thinking in my head, she's too young to get married. Oh, that's so young to be getting married. She'll be 23 when she's, because, you know, in my head, she's still my little girl. We actually were just joking with her about that this morning. And yet she would be close to 10 years older than the girls at this time, than Mary would have been, the very mother of Jesus. She was very young. We're also told in here that she was a virgin. She was one who had been following the Lord, had been seeking to be faithful to God. We're told also that she was betrothed. Betrothed, as you probably know, means to be essentially engaged. But it meant more than just being engaged. The expectation was that you would remain faithful. And to become unengaged would require divorce. And so she was betrothed to someone, but not just anyone. She was betrothed to someone from the house of David. Some scholars have made the argument that if you were to trace the line, and the book of Matthew does this very thing, if you were to trace the line of Abraham through David, down through all the kings, the person who would have been king of Israel would have been Joseph. And that's who Mary was scheduled to be married to. She was also found to be found favor with God. She was loved by God. He showed her his mercy and his grace. And he told her, "You will have a baby." Which would have been very confusing. But not just any baby, he says. He's saying to this girl who's probably 14 years old or something along those lines, "You're going to give birth to a baby." And this is what you need to know about this baby. This baby is going to be great, but not just great. He's going to be the Son of the Most High, the Son of God, the very Yahweh who you worship every day. He is going to be a king in the line of David. He will reign over Israel, and there will be no end to his kingdom. I want you to imagine this poor girl. You know, they're in Galilee. I wish I had a big map I could show you. When you think of David and David's kingdom, what city do you think of? You think of Jerusalem. But Galilee is very far north of there. It's a long ways away from there. And she's just a nobody, living in a nothing city. And the angel visits her and he says, "You're going to have a son. The Son of the Most High. He will reign like David did, and there will be no end to his kingdom." Again, I said this earlier. It sounds a lot like 2 Samuel chapter 7. Let me read to you some of the verses. Verse 9, for example, says, "And I have been with you wherever you went and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name like the name of the great ones of the earth." This is the promise that the Lord gives to David. We think of the Davidic covenant. We think of the covenant that God made with David. This promise that he made for him. Later in verses 13 and 14 he says, "He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And when he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men." Which, by the way, is another reference to Isaiah 53 and the fulfillment that would come upon Jesus in his death. And finally, in verse 16, "In your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me, and your throne shall be established forever." I mean, do you think, I mean, think about yourself when you were a teenager. How do you think you would have responded to that? I don't know. I think it would have been pretty scary. Probably pretty overwhelming. And you would have wanted an explanation of some kind. And that's what Mary asked for in verses 34 to 38. "How will this be? since I am a virgin. Now, just before this, in chapter 1, there's the story of an angel appearing to somebody else. I don't know if you remember. Zechariah, right? And he comes to Zechariah, and Zechariah is in the temple, and he's doing his annual duty. And there, the angel of the Lord appears to him, and he gives him this promise of this son that he was going to have in Zechariah, as opposed to Mary, who's but a teenager. Zechariah is old. And he says, you and Elizabeth, who was barren, you will have a child. And what's Zechariah's response to that? He doesn't believe it, right? He's not so convinced that this is going to be the case. And the result for that, for Zechariah, is that he is made mute. And he comes out and he can't say anything, can't say a single word. And it's almost... And the angel essentially is punishing him. He says, because you did not believe. This is what's going to happen to you. So what's the difference here between the way Zechariah responded and the way Mary responded? They both respond with questions. But I would argue that Zechariah asked for a sign and Mary asked for an explanation. The one challenge with that, and I want to be honest with you, when we study Scripture, sometimes we come across things that are challenging. And we have, for example, the examples in Scripture like Gideon. Right? If we go back to the Old Testament, and Gideon didn't believe God, and he says, show me a sign. He's like, you know, make everything wet except for the fleece, make that dry. And then that happens, and then he says, make the fleece wet and everything else dry. Or it may have been the reverse order, I don't remember. But the point is, he asked for sign after sign after sign. And then Hebrews chapter 11 calls him a man of what? A man of faith. When that's things, doesn't feel like a man of faith. And yet that's how he is seen in God's word. And so there must have been an element of what God was trying to teach Zechariah and what God was trying to teach Mary and what God is trying to teach us through all of it. God is trying to teach us. He's trying to show us something. And so the explanation comes to Mary and he says, this is going to happen, but it's going to happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and will make this happen. It's similar to what happens with Elizabeth, right? But it's just a little bit different. This isn't the same. The birth of Jesus was unique. The conception of Jesus was unique. But it's a reminder of what happens with Elizabeth, in the sense that where it made no logical sense for Elizabeth to get pregnant. And so in the same way, it made no logical sense for Mary to get pregnant, for she was a virgin. And yet it is a reminder to us of the main message that he gives us in verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. And I love her response. By the way, did you notice her response in verse 38? It's a beautiful and humble response. And she says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Her response was, then I will do it. Use me, Lord, as you see fit. Nothing will be impossible with God. I once heard the story of a young boy. He was traveling by airplane by himself. And he was going to go visit his grandparents. And he sits beside this older gentleman who happened to be a seminary professor. And so for seminary professors, they can't miss an opportunity to teach. And so he sees that the young man has like his Sunday school take-home paper that he was reading through and looking at. And so the professor thought, hey, this will be fun. We'll do this. And he says, young man, if you can tell me something God can do, I will give you a big shiny apple. And the little boy looks at him and he says, mister, if you can tell me something God can't do, I'll give you a whole barrel of apples. Amen. Amen. Nothing is impossible with God. And the Word tells us that and shows us that and demonstrates that to us over and over again. And when we look honestly and sincerely upon our own lives and we look at how God has worked and moved in our lives and done things over and over and over again, we are reminded that nothing is impossible with God. We heard a story just this morning. But how can Mary know? How can Mary know and understand? So she decides she's going to visit with her cousin Elizabeth. And there she finds even more evidence of what is happening. Verses 39 to 45. It says, in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And so she travels. Now, I want to remind you, she's young. She's pregnant. Those of you who've been pregnant, do you remember what it was like when you first got pregnant? How you felt? Those of you who have been married to someone who was pregnant, you know that those early days are not necessarily fun days, right? They can be very difficult days. And yet Mary travels of a distance of 80 to 100 miles to get from where she lived to get to where Elizabeth lived. It's a long ways. She didn't jump in her Honda Accord to get there, right? She most likely had to walk. She most likely had to walk there in her first trimester of pregnancy. And she gets there, and this is one of the most fascinating stories. She enters the house of Zechariah. She greets Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come? Why? I love her response, but I love the baby's response as well. Again, if you've ever experienced this, you know, babies, I mean, I've never been pregnant, just for the record, but I remember, in case you were wondering, but my wife was very pregnant several times. And so when she was pregnant, I loved to see the baby move. She loved it less, I think, after time went on. Right? That baby can get pretty active. And yet there was something about the way the baby moved this time. There was something different about the way the baby moved. This baby, who is, of course, came to be known as John the Baptist. This baby who would make way for the coming of the Lord. This baby who would tell others about his coming. This baby John was a pretty important baby. And I would argue he knew what his job was. His job was to announce the coming of the one, the coming of the Savior. And he did it while he was still in the womb. You ever thought about that? He did it while he was still in the womb. Because why? Because nothing is impossible with God. And if a baby in the womb can proclaim it, so can we. So can we. Because Jesus, by his very name, the very name that he has given, is one who saves. The Savior of all. The Savior of you. And the Savior of me. It is worth being told about. And I don't know about you, but before I became a Christian, I would have said, there's no way that I could be saved. For I was a sinner, a great sinner. I remember hearing the gospel at first, and I remember thinking, you don't have to explain to me that I'm a sinner. You don't have to convince me that I'm a sinner. What took more convincing was understanding that someone could love me as much as Jesus loves me. And yet it's true. Why? For nothing is impossible with God. How great is his love? Let me finish with how great is his love with this story. Again, another story for you. I don't know if Daryl's a storyteller. I'm a storyteller. So if he's not a storyteller, you might be sick of my stories. But there's an ancient Indian legend. Can't be that ancient because they played chess. Of this king who played chess. And every time the people would come to visit this Indian king who would play chess, he would challenge people to a game. And he was usually victorious. But one time this very wise man came through town and he wanted to play chess with the king, and the king wanted to play chess with him. And he said, all right, let's play, but let's wager something. And so the wise man said, yes, let's wager something. We won't do it now. I will write it down. And it's simply involving rice, putting enough rice on this board. And whoever wins all the rice on the board. And he says, that sounds fair. And he says, give me a basic idea. He goes, well, we'll start with one piece of rice, and then we'll double that, and then the next one we'll double that again. And then we'll keep going. He says, that sounds fair. We'll make sure we have a bag of rice. And they play the chess game, and the wise man wins, as you can imagine. And the king says, bring in the bag of rice so the man can receive his rice. So they put the one piece of rice down on the first square, and then on the second square, puts two pieces of rice. On the third square, he puts four pieces of rice. On the fourth square, eight pieces of rice for 64 squares. Now, they knew they had a problem, though, because by the 31st square, the total would go over 1 billion. In other words, there wasn't enough rice in the world to cover that chess table. With 64 squares on the chessboard, if the number of grains doubles on successive squares, and I looked this up, by the way, a math major I was not. The sum of the grains on all 64 squares would be equal to 2 to the 64th power, or, and I had to write this down, 18 quintillion, 446 quadrillion, 744 trillion, 73 billion, 709,551,615. That better be a big chess table, which is over 2,000 times the annual world production of it. Now, why do I tell that story? Because sometimes We think that the little things we do have no relevance, have no bearing. But since nothing is impossible with God, God takes the little things and He grows them. And He grows them, and He grows them, and He grows them, and He grows them. But do we believe it? Do we live as though things are impossible for God, or do we live as someone who believes that anything is possible with God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the truth of the matter is too often we do not believe. Too often we do not believe in your ability to do what you can do. Father, I start this by saying nothing is impossible with God, including the salvation of a sinner such as I. And Lord, if there's someone that's here this morning that has never known that salvation because maybe they don't even believe it's possible, may today be the day that they trust in you completely. And Lord, for the rest of us, may we never underestimate your power to transform and change lives. And may it begin with me. Help me to trust in you and to truly believe in you and in what you can do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today's a great day because we get to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And so in the celebration of the Lord's Supper, we get to reflect upon the goodness of God and what He has done for us. This is a meal that is meant for those who trust in Jesus for their salvation. And so if that is you, then I encourage you to take, to eat, and to celebrate what God has done for you. We have already confessed our sins, have we not? Reflect upon that, but now reflect more upon the grace of God and what He has given to you in abundance. And so when you partake of this meal, I want you to smile. I don't want you to look somber and depressed. We call this the celebration of the Lord's Supper. I don't know what your parties look like, but hopefully that's not what it looks like. So celebrate it. You have been forgiven by God. You can smile. You can rejoice. When we partake of this meal, if that is not your faith, though, that is not your truth, and I ask that you allow the elements to pass you by, but may God's grace no more pass you by. May you embrace the Lord as your Savior. Here at Newport, we have in the outer ring, you will find juice. In the inner two, you will find wine. And then in the innermost row of crackers, you'll find gluten-free, if that's something you need. In the outer ring, you'll find regular crackers. So let's pray and ask that God bless these elements. God, pray that you'd set these elements apart for your holy use, so that as we eat and drink, we might rejoice in your forgiveness and in your grace. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took the bread, and after giving thanks, He broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread or you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Now receive the Lord's benediction that we will follow up with the singing of the Gloria Patri, but now receive this benediction. Lift your eyes and your hands to heaven and receive it. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. Go in that peace.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the
peace.